Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, Shad and I are chatting with Joel Alkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor, I guess, of the Pre-Market Prep website that I will post a link to below. Joel, we're going to bounce around to a number of different kind of market topics here, but where I want to start is with the bond market and yields that continue to fall. Even earlier today and yesterday, yields on the 10-year dropped down to a low that we saw back more or less in the middle part of July. We are under 1.2% for a 10-year, or on the 10-year. Crazy to see bonds continue to get a buy, yields continue to fall in this environment when, I don't know, there's a lot of commentators saying that yields should be going up for a number of different reasons. We can get into those reasons soon, but Joel, what's your takeaway from the continued decline in yields broadly?
Good afternoon, and thanks for having me on this turbulent Tuesday. I think just to put, you know, everything in the proper perspective is that the head of the Federal Reserve is not raising interest rates, all right? And so bonds, that's good for bonds. I mean, they're not necessarily going lower. But you have an interest rate environment where rates are steady and they're not necessarily going lower, but they're not going up. So why not, you know, why not get the yield in bonds? So that's what I'm looking at is that, you know, yeah, you can put your money here, you can put your money there, old time highs, but, you know, you get the yield, you know, you get your money, get your whatever couple percent and be happy about it. It's not like being in the stock market. But I just think that, you know, that you have a Fed Reserve chairman that's not budging on interest rates. And if anything, you look at a monthly chart, you know, the bond, the U.S. bond, and the, you know, TLT bottom, it's in an uptrend. It's had a couple up months. You may be at a major low. So if technical and Jerome Powell, that's about all I can attribute it to.
Well, Joel, just a quick follow-up on that, on the bonds. You know, you would think that if the inflation has gone higher, that even interest rates would be ticking higher, but instead people are going into bonds, and which is driving the rates lower. But do you think there's any skepticism of these markets continuing to reach new highs from many participants where they're just storing some money in bonds, yeah, waiting for a, you know, rainy day to go back and rotate back into stocks?
Yeah, well, they better get their umbrella out and store it away because this is market. I mean, if that's the philosophy that a money manager wants to have, I mean, you could be waiting a long time. You know, are you waiting for a retest of the March lows from last year? I mean, that may be where some people are parking their money from a safety concern. But you see the price action that you have today and, you know, makes you think, you know, what are you doing looking at that kind of yield? So that's just my take on it. This is not my strongest suit, but yeah, if you're parking money fine there, you're going to get your return. But I think there's much greener pastures in other parts of the market.
Okay, fair enough. Let's talk about some of the other parts of the market then. Let's talk about the big boy tech stocks. So they've shown a little bit of weakness on the back of some good earnings results, some not so good, but that was also due to some bad forward guidance. What's your takeaway from the little bit of weakness right now that has crept into these big tech stocks that had been really the only ones supporting the markets consistently moving to new all-time highs?
You know, you get different scenarios after earnings season, and starting with the banks, you know, you had sell the news. They were all good reports. And the banks have been a little bit slower to recover because of the interest rate environment that we just discussed. But these tech stocks, they went down, but they didn't really go down. You know, it was like, so, you know, Microsoft had a clear resistance point. Apple had a huge run. So it was sold, but there hasn't been any follow through. Amazon was sold off pretty hard after its run and lowered guidance. That seemed to find a temporary bottom. Apple, as I told you, big run up, taking a little pause. Google, yeah, that's pulled back. That's trying to find a base, but Google's up 45% on the year. What the heck do you want? You know, it has to take a little bit of a breather. Tesla. Tesla's $100 higher than it was after its earnings report, right? It was a decent report. They hit it, and boom, they bought it up. So that, you know, from what I'm seeing, you know, when things go down and they react negatively, it's a question, do they stall? You know, do they wait and then turn? And to me, it was, yeah, sell the news on some of these stocks, but you're not getting the follow through. And I noticed this morning, I wish I would have paid a little closer attention to it, but when the market was at their lows, Apple was still green. Microsoft was green. You know, these stocks that let us out of the abyss last year, that just let us to new heights recently, they were either green or just a little bit in the red. So keep an eye on those all-time highs. There's still, you know, a pile of, you know, resistance levels to keep an eye on. Another thing I think that contributed to the weakness this morning is crude fell out of bed and dropped like a buck and a half. And I think that, you know, maybe a little bit of softer demand coming out of China was a little bit of an indication of the early sell-off. The other thing I'll throw in here, and you know, call me crazy, but how about the Clorox indicator? Did you see what Clorox is doing today? It's down 10%. It's down $18. And you know why people were buying a lot of Clorox, right, during the pandemic and the months after? Or I don't know if we're out of it. Because everyone was using Clorox. I mean, going to buy their groceries and wiping it off with Clorox wipes. And that's when you thought the COVID-19 could be transmitted, you know, by touching things. Well, you know what? It's been proven that it's more airborne. You can't get it for touching. Who needs Clorox anymore? That stock is back at its March lows, believe it or not. Almost. I thought it might get there this morning. But giving back all that, all those gains. So combination of, you know, these tech stocks coming back and COVID variant, you can debate what you want about it and, you know, the way it's picking up in the South and everything. But, you know, I hope we don't have that many people from the South listen to the show. But weren't they the ones bragging how they didn't shut down and they didn't need the vaccines? It just kind of makes a little bit of sense. I mean, I hope everybody's healthy and, you know, we pull through this, but, you know, maybe the Delta variant is not as bad as what some of the original perceptions are. At least that's what the stock market's saying.
Well, Joel, I took some Clorox bleach to wipe off my screen today because I couldn't believe that there was a stock that was breaking out, and that was Robinhood. So while some stocks have dipped and had pullbacks, look at the IPO and look at the breakout to new highs in Robinhood. What do you make of it?
A couple things about Robinhood is it was priced at 38, right? So a lot of people were stuck at 38. You traded down to 33.25. Oh, my gosh, did this make a double bottom? It did. 33.25, 33.35 on the first day, then 33.25 to the second day. Third day, you go up to 38. You're thinking there's a mound of people. I got to get out, scratch. I don't like it going to 38. So based on yesterday's scenario, 38 looked like, you know, major resistance, right? All the people stuck on the stock. Well, it opened lower in sympathy with this opened higher, had a quick dip, got nowhere near yesterday's low. When there weren't sellers at 38 to be found, there was nowhere to go but 40.25. The reason that was the high on the IPO day. When you took out 40.25, there's a lot of people that have momentum trading strategies that when a stock takes out the IPO high, whatever it is, in whatever scenario it takes, they're a buyer. So maybe you just have short-term momentum traders, day traders, piling in at 40.25, 40.5, 41, all the way up to nearly 46 here. So I think, to me, those are the few factors behind the Robinhood rally.
Okay. Thanks, Joel. How much is this all, some of this trading, some of this short-term volatility and these day-to-day swings? How much are you also attributing this to being summer trading? So lower volume, less people at their desks, but clearly some people still trading these swings, trading ranges, really.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big proponent of like the August, you know, Europe takes August off and the markets are slower. I mean, these markets, money never sleeps for like one overnight session. So for it to think that it's going to sleep for the whole month of August, I just don't buy that theory. I think the markets are going to move. I mean, overall, on a monthly basis, August isn't the best performing month for whatever reasons. But there's still volume there. There's still people. Machines don't go on vacation, Corey. Algorithms don't go on vacation. And that's all that trades this market. So volume might be a little bit less, but I think there's still enough volume to make or lose a lot of money.
Okay. Fair enough. Joel, let's quickly move over to the gold sector then. You know, we like to follow it closely, and gold is a little over 1800, more around that 1810 right around 1810, let's call it. That is a bit of a rebound from where it was fighting with that $1,800 level, really just over the last month or so. What's your thought here, Joel, on gold and its, I guess, short-term uptrend right now, if we can make that argument?
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't do what everyone wants it to do, but that doesn't necessarily move that it's not moving higher. The way I've looked at it is that, you know, you had the buyers at the 1790 to 1795 area, several lows in that area. Now it looks like they've stepped it up to 1809, 1810. That's not a big bump, but it just does look like support is moving up. I don't know what the catalyst is going to be to get us up over 1840. But it's, you know, it just seems like the support is moving up. Resistance is still at 840. You're winding into another one of these trading ranges. And the way gold is, you know, you're wake up one morning and it's at, you know, 1760 or 1860, you know, it have one of those kind of moves. But it does look like support is moving up in the gold market.
Well, Joel, just one last market to touch on, and that is the cryptoverse with Bitcoin. We saw, you know, it take a dive down from the $64,000 question down to the $30,000 range. And then it popped back up to around $40,000 once we had some of that news from Amazon and some of the Elon Musk tweets coming back out. What do you think of it now? It's kind of hovering there in that $38,000 to $40,000 range. Is it something that's going to get a little stickier and build a base from here, or do you still think there's some weakness in store for the Bitcoin market?
I still think, a trading range, and, you know, I was really earmarking 41 as the top of the trading range. It got through a little bit through that going to 42, and now it's pulling back. The fundamental news that you mentioned has kind of subsided. It's still an uptrend. I think when it was trading down at 30, a lot of people were looking for 20, you know, because that was the area that it broke out from originally. So when you didn't get back down to 20, then you had that Amazon news. There was a little, you know, you had that sudden burst. So trading range, you know, and I don't want to, you know, just say, okay, well, the top of my trading range is 42 because it went to 41. I think it's in a trading range, and I think it's, you have to treat it so. And to me, it's pulling back, but it's not anywhere near the bottom of the trading range.
All right. Joel, thanks for the update here. I know we're diving into just any markets that's moving right now and trying to make sense of any of these moves. Most importantly, trying to figure out where we're going to be going after summer when we do get maybe some more or some changes in direction. Who knows? But right now, look, we are in summer, but there's still a lot to talk about and look at when it comes to the different markets out there. Joel, always great chatting with you, buddy. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Okay, thank you, guys.